nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology. You can follow along with this presentation by going to nanohub.org and downloading the corresponding slides. Enjoy the show.
Our first speaker for this morning is Professor Ik-Chan Kwan, the department head and senior research scientist for the Center of Theragnosis Biomedical Research Institute at KIST. Professor Kwan is one of the most productive and distinguished researchers in career, and his current research focus is targeted drug delivery with polymeric nanoparticles, development of smart nanoprobes for theragnostic imaging, and biochip technology and cell extracellular matrix interactions. Professor Kwan has published over 100 peer-reviewed articles, 11 book chapters, and 6 review articles, and he's presented more than 60 national and international invited lectures. He's editor of the Journal of Controlled Release and participates on the editorial board for 3 other journals. Today he will speak on the topic Theragnosis, a New Paradigm for Personalized Medicine. Please join with me in welcoming Professor Kwan.
Thank you, Dr. Rebar. So about 6 years ago at the same place, probably here, we used Theragnosis for the first time. And if you now can Google search for Theragnosis, there's our presentation in Purdue University. The first one in 2006. At that time, Theragnosis is like mixed together, the uses. But today, I want to redefine the Theragnosis, because what we are thinking and what our direction for research for Theragnosis is quite different from the Theragnostics nowadays in U.S. and other places. So I will already define what we are going to do with the Theragnosis going through to my presentation. This year is about 10 years past. We have a whole body genome sequences for human, and it will be lead to the future of medicines as a personalized medicine. With knowing that all the genetic informations of the humans, that will lead to a better understanding of the basic biological processes, and also, and mostly for now using these genetic informations for prediction of disease occurrence, and also we have a right choice for the patient to avoid a drug adverse effect. So currently, if one says it's personalized medicine, this indicates a companion diagnostics. So the companion diagnostics means that they use diagnosed disease and based on the genetic information of patients, and choose the correct treatment regimens and monitor the patient's response. So it also known as theragnostics and pharmacogenomics and pharmacodynamics. But here you can find that there is no indication of development of a new drug in to meet in some questions of genetic informations. What they are mainly focused in companion diagnosis is to have a diagnosis based on genetic informations and choose the existing drugs. For example, for the companion diagnosis of like a Herceptin, then it will the mainly the concept is using the HER2 testing for the patients, and then with or without the HER2 testing, it has a pronounced difference of a response rate. So with the testing for HER2 receptors, then we have like about fivefold increase of better response for the patients. But here you also can see these are tested by the genetic informations, but those who have genes born with the genes with the HER2 overexpressed, then the other 50% does not respond to Herceptins like drugs. These are because the gene testing is not responsible for the therapeutic responses. The therapeutic responses includes all the genetic informations, also gene expression with protein expression, and also the metabolic profiles. So to have the exact prediction of therapeutic profiles, we should have all these kind of things all together. So in addition to these genetic informations, how can you do to measure the therapeutic, predict the therapeutic profiles? Is the only way is real time monitoring the images or responses in the drugs. So, for example, people are labeling to their HER2 antibodies and label with the small radioisotopes, and then inject a small amount to the patients, and they watch whether this one really goes to the tumor site of the patients. So this one, all the imaging, all includes the gene expression and protein expression and the metabolic one. And this is a perfectly predict the response of these drugs. So currently, four different trials and in a clinical phase to measure the exact therapeutic responses. Also, recently, the other types of this PET scannings to predict the exact therapeutic responses are undergoing for this one. But this one can be very easily do with a receptor and ligand receptor binding or the antibodies binding, but not all the questions will focus on the antibodies. There are also many other reactions or enzymes, like enzymes or chemicals that's related to disease. For example, this is a paper published by Jae-yong Park in Gyeongbuk Medical University, Gyeongbuk National University Medical School. What it found that those patient who is very poor prognosis with chemical drugs, and we found with the SMP studies that the caspase enzyme is genetically mutated, so the production of caspase enzymes is very low. The expression is very low, so they are very weak and to induce the apoptosis. It means when you inject anti-cancer drugs, then it should go to induce enough apoptosis to kill the tumors. But genetically, these patients is very weak in caspase enzyme expressions. So in whatever was the anti-cancer drug, the patient is very weak enough to induce to kill the tumors. But this caspase is not a receptor, it's a protease enzymes. So we cannot label and to watch in real time for the patient with the activity of caspases. So we need another method to visualize in real time in the patients the activity of proteases like this. So this is example of a very advanced technology for the computed tomograph here. But you can see the, all the detailed structures of inside of our body, like all three-dimensional spaces. But we can see very detailed, but we cannot measure the enzyme activities here. So also, we have very detailed structure of a brain here with the 7 Tesla MRI, but this also does not tell us any kind of activities of proteases or kinases, enzyme activities. So the molecular imaging, which can tell the process activity, was first done the Weiss-Leder group, which I introduced many times here for Weiss-Leder group, with using a protease substrate here to can detect fluorescence intensities. So with this one, we probably can use EPR effect to accumulate more nanoparticles. So we can take advantage of nanoparticles to using high permeable vasculature of the tumors here. So with the nanoparticle itself has a better accumulation in the tumors. It's like this is example of what in our lab use the HGC nanoparticles. Now this is commercially available through DKC Corporation, so that any people, most people can conjugate in the outer surface of HGC nanoparticles, then they can use other kinds of targetings. So with this, with using this nanoparticles, and also we introduced external quenchers here, then we have better accumulation in the tumor and also higher activity of fluorescence to against to MMP enzyme activities. So with this nanoparticles injected through the tail vein, it will circulate and then accumulate in the tumor side. Then they will show the fluorescence activation, while the circulating nanoparticles is very silent because there is no enzyme activities here. So we can visualize the protease activities here, the MMP activities here in real time to measure the angiogenesis. We also can use these enzyme activities to measure the vulnerable plaques in the atherosclerosis, because most of physicians, they want to know the atherosclerosis is dangerous and need immediate surgery or not. But with this kind of angiography, you can tell where is the atherosclerosis, but you cannot tell that it will be dangerous or not. It's a vulnerable plaque or not. But with enzyme, with measuring enzyme activities, we can say this is undergoing a very severe inflammation, then it can be a very dangerous or not. So the second one, what we did is to visualize apoptosis with using the same principle here with the caspase 3 as protease as mainstream of the apoptotic process. And using the same principle with making nanoparticles here. And here we use the hyaluronic acid-based nanoparticles. Then DEVD is peptide sequence for specific for caspase 3 proteases. And also, we used the external quencher here to have a better sensitivity here. So when we mix nanoparticles with to the cells and induce apoptosis with 50 nanograms of trails, we can see the nanoparticle uptake into the cell, and they go the apoptotic process, and the release the caspase will attack the nanoparticle, and we can see the fluorescence intensities here. So without a trail, it means without inducing the apoptosis, in normal state, we cannot see any fluorescence intensities. Also, with inhibitors, there is no fluorescence activities. So it means the fluorescence intensity is very specific to caspase 3. And going to the in vivo imaging, the tail vein injected nanoparticle will circulate, and then it accumulates in the tumor site. And then here, we induced it with the doxorubicin. So the injected doxorubicin will induce apoptosis in the tumor site. And here, we can measure the activity of caspase 3. It means we can visualize the apoptosis here. So it should be noted that it will be very fast after we induce the apoptosis. And usually, with measuring CT or MRI, the regression of tumor, it takes about a month or 2 months to measure with only the size. And we can follow the treatment of the anti-cancer drug. But here, if we measure the apoptosis, it will immediately measure the caspase activities. So now we can answer Professor Park's questions, for we can visualize caspase activities in real time. Not a human to patient yet, but at least we can measure in preclinical tests that this has any genetic mutation and it's a very weak expressions of apoptosis. So if it expanded to a clinical to patients, and Professor Park can select any patient who can be very poor progresses, less response to anti-cancer drugs. But he can select the patients, but he don't have any kind of solutions to treat these patients, because a poor inducing the apoptosis means it cannot respond any kind of anti-cancer drugs. So here we should provide a good solution for him. Otherwise, he have a big trouble with selecting the patients here. So here we use theragnosis as the diagnose the disease, and also we design the treatment with the same principles. Otherwise, we cannot monitor the patient response to therapy. So here I redefine the theragnosis with the use of same principles for diagnosis and therapy so that we can monitor the responses. It's different from the companion diagnosis because it does not include any design of drug therapy. Also, pharmacogenomics, it's only diagnosis based on the genetic informations, or currently using theranostics, it only has concept of a drug and imaging agent that all together, but not in the same principle. So we say the theranostics is a little bit different definition than theranostics. So here is one example what is going on our lab for using the same principle of diagnosis to the therapy with the same principles here. So we are using the caspase again, and the doxorubicin is conjugated with a peptide sequence which is specific for apoptosis. And this conjugated drug is non-active when injected to systemically. But when it reaches, it will be a non-targeting strategy. So it will be distributed evenly through the body. But where it has an apoptosis and also it has some activity of apoptosis, then these caspases will cleave this peptide sequence and they release the drug, now it can be active for inducing another apoptosis. So it will cause the increase of caspase 3, the apoptosis, and they increase the caspase product expression of caspase 3 will again to attack these prodrugs, and that will produce more anti-cancer drugs. So it will have a dose amplification to treat the one. So this prodrug will distribute evenly through the body, but we can focus the gamma rays to exact it to the area of the target tumors. These are currently available in clinical hospitals with radio therapies. So with the radiation with in focused area with it, you say the gamma knife, and we can induce the apoptosis in very specific areas what we're targeting. So these gamma rays will induce apoptosis, and the induced apoptosis caspase 3 will amplify the therapies in localized area. And we have preliminary data for tumor regression with a very good response. And these were not a first trial, but Yongro Byung here, and he published papers in 2007 and already published about the drug release in response to MMPs. It's the same principle. So if we can use with the same principle, as I showed you, we can visualize caspase 3 activity. And also this therapy is based on same principle with caspase 3 activities. So we can directly visualize the therapeutic efficacies. Another example is here, our colleague in Gyeongbuk National University, Byung-Hun Lee, published a paper, a concept paper in Journal of Controlled Release. This is also using the same principle of apoptosis. What they used is apoptotic peptide, which is targeting the histone moieties during the apoptotic process. And this one has also same principles with dose amplification, because the apoptosis targeting nanocontainers will reach to the tumor site, the apoptosis area. And then here, they release the doxorubicin included, and the released doxorubicin also induced apoptosis, and it will recruit more nanoparticles which it's targeting to the apoptotic area. So this is also a loop of enhancing very localized area of tumor apoptosis. So they can visualize the therapeutic efficacies here compared to the control doxorubicins here in the site. Another very similar examples here published in 2 months ago in MIT Harvard Medical School team. They have nanoparticles with also amplifying tumor targetings here. What they did is using a nanorod, and they heat up with the near-infrared lasers to heat locally to the tumor site. And then the tumor site will have an aggregation aggregation of thrombosis. So they targeted with two principles with the fibrin-binding peptides or the protease with the factor 13 activities. So here, so what the difference is, a gamma knife, and here is a localized induction with the thermal treatment here. So these are signals obtained from the temperature images. And also these are fluorescence images targeting tumors. So here I introduced the dose amplification, which can answer to the molecular imaging, also use the same principle for treatment, a new design to match the imaging principles here. And also we can use a gene regulations, because most of the questions from the genetic information, it will have included the mutations in the genes. So we can replace genes or delivering the siRNAs, or we can deliver a right choice of proteins or therapies. This one also includes the visualization of therapeutic efficacy here. We are visualizing where is our drugs is, and also visualizing the therapeutic efficacy with the fluorescence images here. So we can monitor the therapeutic efficacy at the same time. Another very interesting image here is the meaning of toxicity in vivo. When we say that the carrier is very toxic, we usually do the toxicity test in vitro cells like MTTS8 and others. But it depends on the concentration. So when we move to in vivo, and then what does this toxicity means when it in a very low concentration? So here, in very low concentration, like a PEI, it will not kill the mice, but it has meaning that it will all captured in the liver or spleen. So these meanings cannot be done in the in vitro cell test. So this kind of toxicity test is now available in preclinical trials. We say like those paintings by the radiotherapists. And currently we say it's a phase zero clinical studies. We label radioisotope for the drugs, and usually inject a very small amount of drug in phase zero clinical studies, and we can measure a real-time pharmacokinetics and biodistribution and pharmacodynamics with later labeled new drugs. In US, Japan, and EU has all prepared the regulations for phase zero clinical studies. And these are very useful for those diseases we don't have any animal models, like Alzheimer's disease. So we don't have any animal models, then it will be directly injected to the Alzheimer patients, and then whether these new drugs are localized to the Alzheimer plaques. These are new current studies. So most of our studies in fluorescence imaging to detect proteins or enzyme activities. And now in some places clinically available for the fluorescence imaging for here, example is breast cancer. And also some groups, they already tried it in clinical trials for this fluorescence imaging for the surgical, during the surgical processes. So in some time, probably not long, in very near future, we probably can use the fluorescence imaging machines in hospital. Then we can measure all kinds of protein activities, and also hopefully we can measure the kinase activities issue. So these are the contributors in our group with students and postdocs involved in this study. And also thanks to Purdue Group with the collaboration for our collaborations. Thank you very much and happy to answer any questions.
We have a time for a few questions. Yes.
Hi, John. So in the beginning, you showed this very strong accumulation of HPC in the tumor site. The question is that whether the HPC there stays in the nanoparticle state or in the universe state?
It's in nanoparticle state. Yeah.
Do you have evidence?
Probably we had some TEM electron microscope for the mouse studies.
So
in tumor tissues, we isolate the tumors and then make a histology. Then we watched with the electron microscope.
Does TEM have no selectivity?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you go with how you are HPC? Yeah. I mean, you did a PEM of the tumor tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Those are nanoparticles.
We can find some nanoparticles in EM pictures, yeah.
Okay.
But it's not a very complete studies, but we found some nanoparticles there, so we think that it will maintain the nanoparticle still.
So there's a big push now towards personalized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a perspective of how we can utilize, for example, your example of the caspase, activity or expression levels being lowered in these cancer patients? Can we utilize, or is there a perspective for Theragnosis towards personalized medicine where we can take advantage of some of these polymorphisms that we see, not only as utilizing the particle in a general sense, but maybe specifically to target those particular, or take advantage of those polymorphisms?
But here, this is only one example for the caspase examples here. And also what we used here is not a nanoparticles. It's doxorubicin conjugate with peptides. It's not nanoparticles. So we didn't take advantage of like EPR effect or other nanoparticle effect here. So these are one examples for one SMPs has one questions, and we have how to solve to imaging and then to design a new drug to meet these questions. So if we move to another questions like SMPs with other protease activities or like other kinase activities, then we can design with the principles for protease or kinases. Then we also can design with the same principles to meet the question for therapy. So what we are saying is it should be have imaging and at the same time should provide the solutions for the therapeutics. Because in companion diagnosis is choosing genetic information and we choose which drug is most suitable for the patients. It's not a complete meaning of personalized medicine. It is more close to personalized diagnosis based on genetic information. So to become a true personalized medicine, we should provide solutions for the treatment.
Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank you.
Thank you very much.